Hello, it's Father Jim again. Back in Rome after the summer break, we're welcoming new students at our college from all over the world, and the students who've been here for 3 years already. I've missed them, their companionship and their example, because it isn't good for us to be alone. God is one. I'm a monotheist through and through. There is one God. But within the Godhead, there is a communion. Because if it's not good for man to be alone, and by that I don't mean domestically alone, but I mean just completely isolated, that's hell. So when we put people into solitary confinement, we see that as a punishment. Though some may ask for solitary confinement for their own safety in a prison. But if it includes sensory deprivation, that's hell with finesse. And if it isn't good for us to be alone, it isn't good for God either. And within the Godhead, there's a communion or community. And the language they use is three words, you and I, the Father and the Son. It's not the royal we, which is convention to try and conceal the loneliness of being alone on the top of a pyramid. It's a real we, and the Holy Spirit is the and. And in this life, we have a chance to learn those three words, you and me, so that when we reach heaven, we won't have to go to a school of languages to learn the family language of the Godhead. There are three great pains the world suffers from. And Mary and Joseph suffered these three pains on the way to Bethlehem. The first agony that men experience is, there's no room for you. At the Mad Hatter's tea party when Alice turned up in Alice in Wonderland, the first thing the Mad Hatter said to her was, no room, no room, no room. She said, there's plenty of room. What he meant was, there's no room for you. And it's a great pain for somebody to feel there's no room for you in my heart, there's no room for you in our family, there's no room for you in the street, no room on the housing list, no room for you in industry, no room for you in our country. And Mary and Joseph, arriving Bethlehem, found no room. Another great agony many suffer from is that you're not all right on paper. We've looked in the computer and you're not there. That means you don't exist. I haven't a passport. I haven't an identity card. Can't find my baptism certificate, marriage certificate. Don't know if I'm written in the Book of Life. It means I don't exist. Mary and Joseph went to Bethlehem to sign in, to get an identity card. And the third agony they suffered from was, we're out to get you, says Herod. So they were refugees as soon as our Lord was born. And there are many people in the world who feel someone's out to get you. Might be the tax man, might be your parish priest. And so people go through life nervously, like a bird. Can't really look at the worm because it's looking around to see if the cat's about to pounce on them. So they tiptoe through the tulips, walk on eggshells. That's very painful if you've tried walking on tiptoe for 100 yards. But I presume Mary and Joseph managed these three agonies because they could say to each other, you and me, on the principle that alone it's impossible, but together we'll manage everything. Now the evil one will always try and divide and then conquer. A hawk looking at a flock of birds can't go and eat them all. The hawk goes in, dives in the middle to separate them a bit, and then picks them off one by one. And that's what evil does. It's the great divider that gets between you and me. The Germans were good at it, at least the Nazis were, when prisoners arrived in the sidings of concentration or extermination camps. Let's get between people. Let's split up lovers for a start. That'll demoralise them. Men to one end of the train, women to the other, children in the middle. If they're fair-haired, we might adopt the children, if not, straight to the gas chambers. Divide and conquer. Now, Jews in Germany in the 1930s suffered from these three agonies. No room for you. Go east. You'll fall into the sea at Vladivostok. No room for you in business. No room for you in our streets. No, we'll stick you in ghettos. Secondly, no visas. We've taken your passports. You've just got a cursed identity card. You really don't exist. Or if you do, you won't exist much longer. And thirdly, we're out to get you. I know of a holy professor who spent all the war concealed in attics in Vienna because they were out to get him. This poem I'm going to share with you now is by W. H. Auden. It is two Jews talking to each other in Germany in the 1930s. I don't know if they're husband and wife, two lovers, mother and daughter, two friends. And they're going through the three agonies I've been talking about. No room, no identity cards, and we're out to get you. And I hope they made it, because they could say these precious words, you and me, as Mary and Joseph said to each other. And here is this heartbreaking poem. Say, this city has 10 million souls, some living in mansions, some living in holes, but there's no place for us, my dear. There's no place for us. Oh, once we had a country and we thought it fair. Look in the atlas. You'll find it there, but we can't go there now, my dear. We can't go there now. In the village churchyard there grows an old yew. Every spring it blossoms anew, but old passports can't do that, my dear. Old passports can't do that. The consul banged the table and said, if you've got no passport, you're officially dead. But we are still alive, my dear. We are still alive. Went to a committee. They offered me a chair, told me politely to return next year. Where shall we go today, my dear? Where shall we go today? Came to a public meeting. The speaker got up and said, if we let them in, they'll steal our daily bread. Oh, he was talking of you and me, my dear. He was talking of you and me. Thought I heard the thunder rumbling in the sky. It was Hitler over Europe saying, they must die. Oh, we were in his mind, my dear. We were in his mind. Saw a poodle with a jacket fastened with a pin. Saw a door opened and a cat let in. But they weren't German Jews, my dear. They weren't German Jews. Went down to the harbour, stood upon the quay. Saw the fish swimming. As if they were free, only 10 feet away, my dear. Only 10 feet away. Walked through a wood, saw the birds in the trees. They had no politicians and sang at their ease. They weren't the human race, my dear. They weren't the human race. dreamed I saw a building with 1,000 floors, 1,000 windows, and 1,000 doors. But not one of them was ours, my dear. Not one of them was ours. Stood on a great plain in the falling snow. 10,000 soldiers marching to and fro, looking for you and me, my dear. Looking for you and me. That moves me very much, that poem. On the way to Calvary, our Lord seemed to give the impression he couldn't go on after the scourging and the hemorrhage in Gethsemane. But Simon of Cyrene said, "Perhaps we can make it together, you and me, my dear." And together they made Calvary. And when our Lord seemed to find that even the Father had abandoned him, and there was a terrible silence from heaven, it seemed to suggest he couldn't die alone. And the good thief said to him, "I'll die with you, you and me, my dear." And our Lord replied, "If you will die with me, you and me, my dear, from today you will live with me in paradise. You and me, my dear." So St. Paul points out that alone it's impossible, but together we'll make it. We're not in the church alone. We're not in the human race alone. We're all there to help each other along the way. It is better to arrive in heaven late with your friends when they're on the cheese and biscuits than to get there alone for the soup, of course. So St. Paul says after this, what can we add? Not I, we. You and me, my dear. With God on our side, who can be against us? When God acquits, can anyone condemn? Could Christ Jesus? Certainly not. He not only died for us, you and me, my dear, but there at God's right hand, he stands and pleads for us. Nothing, therefore, can ever come between us and the love of God made visible in Christ Jesus our Lord. Whether we're lacking food or clothes or being attacked, these are the trials through which we triumph, you and me, my dear. For I'm certain of this, neither death nor life, no angel, no prince, nothing that exists, nothing still to come, not any height or depth or any created thing can ever come between us and the love of God made visible in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.